Sometimes you need people to be perfect and they can't be, and you hate them forever for not being, even though it isn't their fault and it's not yours either. You just needed something they didn't have in them to give you.
Welcome to the Busy Girls Book Club. After that depressing ass quote, we are normally not that depressing. We're a podcast that does book reviews on the internet's most loved books, the books that you can't stop getting recommended. And we're here to tell you if they're actually worth reading. I'm Casey.
I'm Caitlin.
And I'm Catherine. And after Caitlin read that run-on sentence, maybe you can figure out we're reading a Sally Rooney book. As in her new book, Intermezzo by Sally Rooney. And you can already tell by my voice that I so loved it. It's a book about two brothers who are very distant from each other and very different from each other. And they are grieving the loss of their father, who was sick with some kind of cancer. And he has recently passed. And you follow along in their lives as they meet new people and get into relationships with women who society may not deem as acceptable. And they're kind of going through some mental struggles in very different ways. And that's the best way I can describe this book without spoiling anything.
Yeah. Grief and difficult family relationships.
With chess. Chess is involved.
Yes. And women either twice your age or two times younger than you.
Yes. Inappropriate relationships.
Yeah. So yeah, do you guys have reviews? Wait, at what point do we want to get into it with Caitlin? Caitlin, do you want to?
Let's just go through reviews first.
Okay. I have 2 1-star reviews because they were really funny and they were like back to back next to each other. They're on Goodreads. And one said, I hate every character, but mostly I hate all the words in this overly long book. And that felt like a great statement. And then this one made me giggle because it's written in the style of the book. And it says, such a shame, only the father died, I said.
Damn.
Oh, no.
Brutal.
Hey. I also picked 2 1-stars. Mine are from Amazon because the people on Storygraph were too sophisticated to dislike this book.
Ew.
Don't like the style or the story. So many better things to read. My book club of 6 all panned the book. And
loving, I want to join that book club.
It's like when our book club read The Four Winds. And yeah, no one wanted to admit it. We all hated it. And then once we did,
we're like, oh, it was interesting.
Yeah. And then the other one says, I've tried 3 Sally Rooney books. Intermezzo was my 3rd. I had hope that my reading style would grow and change, but upon reading the first 3 pages of this book, I found the style very off-putting. Truncated phrases, half sentences, jerky style, a hard no, returning it.
Yeah.
Fair.
There we go. Okay, I just have one, also 1-star today. And it's a long review, but I'm just going to read the first part. And it says, under the guise of ambitious prose that aims to contribute to the discussion on grief lies a book about two brothers complaining about life and banging inappropriate women.
Period.
So, yeah.
Well, we might be in the minority on this one. Because overall ratings on Goodreads are 4 out of 5. And the overall Amazon rating is 4.2 out of 5. So these 1-star reviews are not in the majority, but how did you guys fall in the star ratings? Which I'll go with Caitlin first. Caitlin, how did you fall in the star
ratings?
You
don't want to save me for last?
No.
Okay. Transparency, guys. I read 14 pages of this book.
Oh my God.
I have never DNF'd a podcast book. That's over 100 books, okay?
Yeah.
This is my first. First of all, I hate the writing style. I was reading it and I was like, why is this paragraph a whole page long? And there's a million half-finished sentences in it. And the rest that are longer are run-ons. I couldn't get into it. Also, being very transparent because I have no secrets. My uncle got really sick during this time period and was on life support and then died while I was trying to read this. And this was not a hospital read while we were sitting there. This is what you would call the opposite. Onyx Storm came out. That was more of a hospital read, a little bit of escapism. So I just gave up, quite frankly.
As is your right.
And I tried to even make myself pick it back up this morning to read just a little more before the podcast. And I was like, no, I hate this writing.
Live your truth, queen.
So no stars from me because that's not fair because I read 14 pages.
Hey, no stars and a DNF is strong enough of a statement.
Yeah, 14 pages. That's bad.
Okay. Who's next?
Yeah. I was like, do you want me to go next, Catherine?
Yes.
Okay. So Sally Rooney basically writes popular lit fic.
Is our lit fic queen talking, just saying.
Yes.
Yes.
So, you should like this book in theory.
I think out of all of us, it was clearly going to be me who was maybe going to like this book. What I will say is that a lot of people who hated the book didn't like the writing style. I actually didn't mind the writing style, but still hated the book for other reasons. And
we've all used the word hate.
Yeah. Okay. I gave it 3.5 because I do rate craft very highly in my ratings. Like I rate it higher than enjoyment sometimes. And so basically all of those 3.5 stars are like for the ending, which did make me cry. I did think the ending made it a much more impactful book than the rest of the 90% of it. And then Sally Rooney, I do think, is a very sophisticated author. I thought that there were moments that were really good in the book and I could see what she was going for. However, I don't understand the point of having female writers who write about whiny men. Like the whole
period
of having
you. Let the whiny men write about the whiny men.
Yes. Like the whole point of having representation is we don't have to sit through these stories anymore. Like, girl, why did you write this? And if anything, so I love Virginia Woolf. So I kind of had high hopes for Sally Rooney because her writing feels very inspired by Virginia Woolf, because Virginia Woolf also does stream of consciousness. She's British and themes of like human deficiency, loving someone but struggling to communicate with them, like the inherent shortcomings of people, like very literature-y, like the struggle of human life. So I was kind of like, this sounds like what Sally Rooney's thing is. However, I was also really nervous because I had watched Normal People. I didn't read it, but I watched it and I was like, this is gratuitously sad for no reason, with unlikable main characters who are just immature. And that's how I felt about this book. These are just immature people stumbling through life. And one of the biggest reasons their lives are so hard is because they do not have a normal maturity level for their age.
And can't communicate with one another.
Yes. And so I actually just didn't enjoy it at all. I thought it was just boring. It was frustrating. And I also didn't really find it relatable to me or most of the people I know. And I just didn't really think that there was much of a point to it, or I didn't think it added at all to the conversation on grief and anything. Anyway, I've been talking a long time now, but I kind of liked her point about like society puts all these rules on relationships and a lot of times they don't actually make sense. Relationships are really complicated and occur on an individual basis. But this read like a hit piece on age gap relationships.
Girl, what's your star rating?
Oh my God, I totally forgot. I was like, what am I even doing here? No, I said I gave it 3.5 stars. Oh, anyway, I'm done talking. I have so much to say about this book, but Catherine, please take over.
Okay. So I was going to give it 2 stars when I was 50% through because I was like, I appreciate what you're trying to go through, but goddamn syntax is pissing me off. I have never wanted to DNF a book because of syntax. I never thought I would be picky about that, but I cannot stand so many fucking sentence fragments where it's just adjective, noun, and that's it, period. I'm like, that is not a sentence. You need a verb. Give me a verb. And that was just pissing me off and making the reading experience so much slower because I would have to reread sentences because I was like, am I missing something? Am I missing something here? Anyway, so I waff, but the ending I did actually like. I grew to kind of like the characters. I don't love them, but like, I respected what Sally Rooney was trying to get out of this book and her commentary on grief and on familial relationships, and also just kind of how people go about their days after the death of a loved one. And I thought those were interesting enough features, and the ending got better. But this book was 450 pages too long. Like, I'm sorry, this could have been condensed so much. Because I did, we'll get into it in the spoiler section. I'm waffling between a 2 and a 3 star because I was going to give it 3 because of the ending. But I think I'm going to say 2.5 just because I don't think the ending redeemed it enough to go up a star rating.
Yeah. Damn. Okay. Well, did we say the Goodreads and Amazon already?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm just off my flow today. It's because I don't have Caitlin keeping me in check.
Sorry. I did say, girl, that was your star rating because I got bored. So. Okay. I'm just here.
No, it's okay. You can answer some of these based on the first 14 pages.
I mean, he was already with a promiscuous woman in the first 14 pages. So,
yeah. Was Ivan with his girl yet? I don't think so.
I didn't even speak to Ivan.
Oh,
see, yeah. Okay. You would have liked Ivan better because there was no sentence fragments.
Yeah. He had more cohesive brain.
Is a barrier to entry to put the other guy first then.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yes. Okay. So is the book more plot or character driven?
It's character.
It's
obviously
character driven. Yeah.
There is no plot. There is no plot.
Yeah. The plot is like these women and their relationships to them and how that heals or doesn't heal the relationship with the two brothers. And then, but it's slow going. Would you read other books by the author?
I have been recommended Normal People so many times.
But now I don't want to read it.
Exactly. No, this book turned me off. I don't think I'm going to read another Sally Rooney. Even though Normal People is shorter, it's shorter. And I've been told it's better. But I still don't trust it.
Yeah. As I mentioned in the intro, I watched Normal People because I wasn't sure if I wanted to read it. And watching it totally turned me off of it. I felt like the things I didn't like about this book were the same things I didn't like about Normal People. And so I think it's just sort of the kind of author Sally Rooney is, which lots of people like, but I don't think is my thing. The pacing.
Horrible. Horrendous.
Oh my God. The pacing is so bad. It's so hard to read this book. Like, it's actually so hard to get through.
It's a mindfuck.
I tell you, it took me, I don't know, 30 minutes to read 14 pages because I had to keep rereading because I didn't know what this lady was saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every part of it just feels like a drag, and there's no parts of it that are fun. There's like almost zero like lighthearted moments. It's all like the drudgery of life and like mental illness and sadness and dysfunctional relationships. Like, it's just horrible pacing wise.
Yeah. No, it's so slow. It's all just like what these guys are thinking and how fucked up their lives are, apparently, even though it doesn't really seem that their lives are really that fucked up at all. You're grieving, yes, but I'm sorry. They were being dramatic. Yes. They were being fucking dramatic.
I actually think that's a really like underspoken about point in this book, is these men are actually quite privileged, and this book feels like it's trying to convince you that they're like victims. And I'm like, no, okay, it's totally fair to grieve, and everyone grieves differently, and families can be very difficult, but I feel like these are not sympathetic portrayals of what you're trying to portray. These are just,
if anything, the women they were seeing were the victims.
Yes, that's one of my biggest things, though, is like my biggest critiques of this book in general is I don't understand why she chose the two male main characters when every female character in the book is more interesting. Like, you could have told a story about the men while making it about the women, and it's fucked up that you made me read these two men.
I mean, the opening lines are about him talking about how frumpy his brother looks at their dad's funeral, and you're like, well, clearly you're not going to be likable people.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, it took me the beginning of the book, like the first chapter, I also found just like very, very difficult to understand what was happening. Like, the first chapter alone is like a huge barrier, I think, to the book, because I actually had to read the Goodreads blurb on it to figure out who the fuck people were. Like, I was like, I'm sorry, are they related? Are they dating? Who are we even talking about right now?
Yeah, no, it's like the chapters are too long, too. Yeah. Anyway, yeah.
The paragraphs are too long.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like 450 page book. And there's only 17 chapters. So each chapter is about 50 pages.
Some of the paragraphs span more than a whole page.
Yes.
That's crazy, guys. We read, what other book did we read like this? Was it Secret History or Little Life? One of them was like that, where it just had these super long paragraphs.
It must have been Secret History.
Yeah.
But that book is old, so it kind of makes sense.
But, you know, I feel like Donna Tartt and Sally Rooney would be great friends.
Well, I finished one and you guys finished the other, so
yeah,
teamwork.
Not a complete busy girls rating between them.
Okay. Would you watch a movie or TV show of this book before we go off the rails again?
No, I would absolutely would not. Like, I have
no
desire to spend any more time with these characters.
I really, yeah. No. My answer
would
you, dumb.
Would you, Caitlin, just to figure out a more complete picture for you of what happens?
No, I mean, and you've talked so poorly about watching Normal People, so now I'm like, I don't want to read or watch anything Sally Rooney. I'm scared.
Yeah, well, you know, Normal People gets other people. That's a really popular one, so I don't know, but I did not like it.
I read Anxious People. Does that count?
No.
I like that one.
Close. The characters would probably also benefit from that, but okay. Spoiler alert, if we haven't totally turned you off of this book by just like relentlessly shitting on it, I will say there were some things I liked, which we'll, I'm sure, get into in the discussion ideas. Catherine, I'm sure, has much more to say as well. Despite many of these book's shortcomings, there is a lot to talk about in it. Lots of social commentary, so we're going to get into it, and Caitlin is going to have a good time.
I'm just going to help facilitate and prod and ask questions like the journalist I am.
There we go.
The first question, though, that Catherine wrote is, what made you DNF this book? And I kind of already hit it. Like, it's not for a busy girl. Oh, wait, we didn't do our busy girl rating.
Oh, shit.
Oh, my God, you're right. Oh, I think that was my fault.
It's a zero. Fucking zero.
Okay, I'm not gonna give it a zero. I'm gonna give it a one. However, it was way longer than it needed to be. It was a slog. I do think there is an audience for this book. I just think it's like very specific. Like, it's more specific than Litfic. Like, I'm actually sort of astounded people like the book. But
I want to know who these people are. Like, what kind of pretentious,
I'm going to be
artsy
real with
you. Person, are you?
I think Sally Rooney is famous enough at this point that people just say they like her.
Right. That's why I'm like, I need to talk to these people and be like,
yeah, I need someone to convince me.
Give me a tangible reason, not right. Just of like, oh, it's unique. I don't want to hear unique. I want to hear one specific plot point you liked.
Yeah. Walk me through how this book experience was for you. Anyway, so I'll give it a one again. I did think it had literary merit. I just honestly, it wasn't unique enough to be like a must read. It also wasn't interesting enough. And if you're busy, there's absolutely no way you will finish this book.
Example A.
Yeah.
Zero for me. I clearly didn't finish it because I was busy.
Right.
So our average rating is a 0.33.
I feel like my rating's unfair, but also it was a barrier to entry for me reading this book was how busy I was, and I did not have the time to just like wallow through this book.
Right.
It was not happening. Yeah. And I was not in the headspace, you know. Like, I feel like, so back to the question I was answering in the spoiler alert section, I was too busy for this book. I was in the wrong headspace for this book. I'm too stupid for this writing style. I don't know. I was rereading so many things within these first 14 pages just to figure out what the heck she was talking about, because I do not like that. My brain doesn't work that way. And I think there are people whose brains work that way and love reading that kind of stuff. It's not me. I need some basic sentence construction, some quotation marks. That would be nice. So it just, that's why I DNF'd. I wasn't hooked in the first chapter, you know. It wasn't worth my time. But now I want to ask you guys, did you ever consider DNFing the book?
Yes.
Yeah.
After, like, the first chapter.
So many times I wanted to DNF, actually. I'm trying to think about what I thought the cringiest plot point was. But after...
any of the sex scenes?
Yeah. After Ivan's 30-year-old actually, like, took him home, I was like, I just really have to stop reading this. Like, it's just so cringe. Yeah, I wanted to DNF a lot. So...
yeah. Okay. This is me maybe getting on my American soapbox and just critiquing the shit out of an Irish author / British authors. Is it a thing that you don't put quotation marks around quotes? Because I'm sorry, I liked those quotation marks when they were there. I didn't realize I liked them until I missed them. And then I couldn't tell if someone was speaking or saying something out loud.
I don't think it's a British thing, because we've read plenty of books by British authors that had quotation marks. Like, freaking Harry Potter can have quotation marks.
I think it's just Sally Rooney. I think it's just her thing, one of her things.
I hate it. Thank you.
Well, yeah, same.
Because it does facilitate the stream of consciousness, because it's like there's no breaks. It's all just like you're living in the mind.
I would say her writing style is definitely artistic.
Yes.
Some people don't like art. That's okay.
So me.
Yeah. I will briefly defend the writing style. I do understand why other people don't like it. It's not something I would say is for everyone. And so, like, I totally get why people just can't get into it because of that. It's definitely a choice. I kind of, like, get the thing of trying to write what people's thoughts are like, because when you're thinking in your head, it's very disjointed. It's like half emotions, half of like other stuff and like fragments. And at least that's how my brain is. It's like half words, half emotions, half visuals, half memories. And so I get that. Like, I think that she actually did a good job of like bringing people's thought styles to life, especially because Ivan was very different from Peter. However, yeah, it's sort of brutal to read at times, and you have to just like the writing style is in it of itself just a deal breaker. Like, you have to ask yourself, can you read a book like this or not? And not everyone can, and I think that's fair.
And I will say, I was fine with the writing style with Ivan. I actually liked Ivan. I liked his character. I liked his thoughts about society, especially because he's obviously on the spectrum, or he has some sort of social personality disorder. So he sees the world very differently and very transactionally. And so he can interpret things that are considered normal in society and say, like, maybe that's kind of fucked up. Like, I thought that was interesting. And his brain thoughts were very, very interesting. Starting out with Peter is a stupid idea, because it will cause people like Caitlin to not finish the book. And every time I got into Peter's brain, I was like, shit, we're back here again. Do we have to be back here again? So I respect the choice of making them very two different writing styles, because they're two different brains who think very differently. Where I get hung up, though, is the monotonous of Peter's mind. Like, we went to work so many times, and he just talked about how much he hated his life and hated his work and hated his coworkers, and went through like the excruciating detail of his day-to-day life. I was like, after the first time, after the first 50%, I got it. He hates his life. He hates his job. He hates his situation. He wants things to change. I don't need to hear about his job anymore. Can we cut this back a bit? And we just, every time we got back into his perspective, it was just kind of like, woe is me. I have a shitty job. I'm stapling the paper. Like, it was so specific to how much he hates his job. I was like, can we stop this now? I get it.
Yeah. No, I agree with that.
Okay, let's talk about the book title. I don't know what the title means in the sense of the book, but
I don't either.
And Intermezzo itself is a short independent piece that plays in between the acts of a play or opera. Why do you think she chose the title? Please enlighten me. I was kind of excited because I knew Intermezzo would have to do with music. And then I started the book. I was like, never mind. I'm good.
She mentions music a lot, like Bach and like concertos and everything, and how like the 23-year-old like side chick of Peter's wants to listen to like poppy music. And he's like, let's listen to Bach. And I'm like, wow, you're really aging yourself quick here.
So cringe. Yeah, so cringe. So
is she using it musically or is she using it as like a story between stories?
I think she's using it as a story between stories. Like,
it's way too long for a story in between stories, though. Like, if you're going to call it intermezzo, it needs to be less than 200 pages.
I wish it felt more like an intermission and less.
The definition does say short. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'm assuming the argument for that is just like the boys are sort of like putting themselves back together after their father's death. So they're sort of in this like period of grief and stillness when things are happening. But I'll be real, I hated the title. I just don't actually think it makes sense. Yeah.
I mean, it covers a brief period of time in their life. So that's accurate in the sense of like, it's like a month that they cover basically. Like, it's not a very like long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
I will say for like a book that talks about grief, they don't really mention their father all that much. Like, they just say, I miss him.
Yeah.
I was just kind of like, wow, this is really self-centered and really selfish. Like, it's choice.
So that is actually another one of my huge issues with the book is I feel like it's like marketed as a book about grief. And it's really not a book about grief. It's a book about complicated relationships. And you find out sort of late in the book that Peter actually has a really complicated relationship with the dad. And that makes his grieving process more complicated because he's also like working through these feelings of like resentment. But I was like, oh, so this is actually like sort of an interesting theme and like idea, because sometimes it's hard to grieve people we love because they also have all like this unfinished business with us emotionally sometimes. And I was like, okay, so why are we just now getting this for like 1 second in like page 350? Like, and I get that you have like life goes on while you're grieving. So like not everything in the world is like about grief and about thinking about the person who's gone. Like you also kind of live life and don't always think about it. But I actually just don't feel like this is a book about grief. Like it was sort of just an excuse for why they were acting crazy.
Yeah, 100%. And it was like, so I hated how this novel revealed things. Mm-hmm. Because I'm going to use the example of Sylvia's accident. We know she's not fully functioning from the start of when.
I knew that. It was in the part I read.
Yes. So, but they keep mentioning the accident and then never explaining it. So you have to draw your own conclusions about what happened and when and timelines. And so it just goes to show, like, even with the dad and the complicated relationships, I was like, you don't need to withhold this information from the audience. None of this book is about, like, the plot and about a climax or anything like that. So you don't need to, like, keep mysteries about. You're in this dude's head. Like, I don't know. Maybe that's just, like, I'm not getting it as a non-English lit fic fan. But I feel like I didn't need to be, like, strung along so long with some of these reveals. And you didn't need to reveal anything, truly.
Right. No, I agree with that.
Wait, what was the accident?
You never find out.
Oh.
Beats me.
That wasn't one of the reveals.
Just,
okay.
Yeah, it's just referenced and you just like never learn any more details about it.
All we know is she can't have sex anymore and she's in pain all the time.
Which I also want to say, this drives me insane because this is a total ripoff of A Sun Also Rises. This is literally the plot of that book, is that one of the men is in an accident during World War II and can no longer like have sexual relationships. You never find out why. But that book is just about his relationship with the person who was like his significant other and how it's sort of like they still love each other, but they can't be together because he can't have a sexual relationship. And so I was like, okay, so we're just like retelling the plot of another book right now. I'm sorry, that's not very litfic of you to just fucking rip off another story. And I've actually mentioned that story before on the podcast because I was like, I would love to hear that story from the woman's perspective. And she gave it to me again from the man's perspective. I was like, I'm not interested in reading the same fucking book again, just in the 21st century.
Yeah, the only time I was ever interested in Peter's point of view is when he was interacting with Sylvia or Naomi, especially Sylvia, because I wanted desperately to know what was happening with her.
Yes, and it drives me crazy that we get some of Margaret's perspective, actually.
Yes.
But never get Naomi or Sylvia. And I was, like, desperate, actually, to have Sylvia's perspective. She was, like, arguably the most important person in the book because, like, that's sort of where everything started for Peter and, like, this dysfunction in his life. It's, like, the most important relationship to him. And so I was like, okay, we only get Margaret, I guess, because she wants to explain why a 36-year-old is fucking a 22-year-old. But we don't get any of the other women. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, because like it's almost like she had to give an excuse to Margaret to be in a relationship with Ivan to not make it seem inappropriate and gross or like that she's taking advantage of him.
Right.
And like she has to mention that every page when it's Margaret's point of view, which I think is a little ridiculous. I was like, I get it. You know what? I'm not going to judge you guys on your relationship. It's you do you. You're obviously both going through something. If you love each other, you love each other. I'm not going to give a shit. You're both consenting adults. But if we're going to get Margaret's point of view, then I want to know what happened to Sylvia. I want to know her thoughts on this whole throuple situation. And then I want to know Naomi's thoughts as a 22-year-old girl, like being like, okay, I'm fucking this older man.
Caitlin, it's like, what the fuck? Caitlin, we should actually have told you this. There is another part of this book you would have hated so
much. Do they literally
much.
Have a throuple?
And it's literally sort of the ending for Peter is that he ends up kind of being in a relationship with Naomi and Sylvia, his like old partner at the same time. And they just both consent that like they're kind of in a throuple now.
So Naomi's the sexual relationship and...
So it's what he was doing in the part I read. It's just approved by both women now.
Yeah. It's just now like, that's just their life.
He has a mental breakdown, collapses on the floor, and they both realize that he's not in a good place and they all need each other.
Yeah. Which I have so many thoughts about.
Let's hear them. What are your thoughts?
So I do want to get to the next question first, which is just what do you think of the... two main characters, Ivan and Peter, because this is like really important to like just explaining the other relationships in the book. It's just Ivan and Peter. I want to say I did not like either of them. I actually liked Peter more, which I think is maybe a hot take because Peter does kind of suck. The reason I liked Peter more is I always sympathize more with characters who I think are in the position of like taking responsibility. And pretty much the only reason there's ever a resolution in Peter and Ivan's relationship is because Peter goes out of his way to repair what's broken with Ivan. And so, like, I think as an older sibling, I related to that because, yes, Peter does suck and he makes a lot of choices that I thought were shitty, especially in the way he treats Naomi. But ultimately, I think he also took responsibility for a lot of things that weren't his fault. And later in the book, you realize that he was actually like sort of doing everything for his family. He was essentially the authority figure while his dad was sick and like handled everything for both Ivan and his dad. And they were like incredibly thankless. Like they took advantage of him, basically. And then when he needed help, when Sylvia was in her accident, neither of them did anything for him. And so I was kind of like, okay, I kind of get it now because that's like semi unforgivable. And Ivan is literally just like a immature little kid. Like he's so immature. And I also want to have grace for him because I did read him as if he was on the autism spectrum. But it was like, there's this one line in the book where they're talking about Sylvia's accident and Ivan's talking about it with Margaret. And Margaret's like, oh, that must have been so hard for Peter to, like, have this change his relationship with someone he loves so much. And Ivan's literally like, well, he wasn't the one in the hospital.
Yeah, he lashes out.
Yeah, I was like, I'm sorry. You are just a little boy. Like, if you cannot bring yourself, and I understand that kind of development of really being able to think about other people is like happens differently for other people, and being on the spectrum can like influence that. But like, you're an immature person until you're able to do that. And so I was just like, I felt like he was positioned the whole book as if he was a victim, but really he was actually like at fault for a lot of things.
Yeah. And so I only appreciated his perspective because it was easier to read. Let me be clear.
Yeah. I like hated them both. So
yes,
to be fair.
I agree with you. I hated how whatever Margaret was bringing up really good points where mm-hmm. she was just like, that must have been really hard for your brother. Like, and then he was like, why are you taking his side? She's like, I'm not. I'm just hearing what you're telling me and giving you back my feedback on the situation. Like, I obviously don't know him and it must have been hard for you as well. But yeah. like to lose a loved one to an accident and they're still alive and it's kind of like a ghost of themselves that you can never truly have back. Like, that's a very traumatizing situation. And Margaret understood that because her ex-husband was an alcoholic. So she was like, he's there, but he's basically dead to me.
Right.
I don't know what to do with this. And so Margaret and Peter are very similar people.
Right.
And Ivan just can't seem to get over himself to realize that. Mm-hmm. But Peter also is just super self-destructive, an alcoholic, mm-hmm. abusing drugs, using kind of these two women for his reasons to live, essentially. Like, he is suicidal basically the whole book. Mm-hmm. And the only joy he gets is when he's with these two women. And I did like their relationship as like a triad. Like, it's not a throuple, mm-hmm. but like, you know, yeah. I think this is one of the only
polyamorous relationship.
Yes. It's the only polyamorous relationship written that I've actually enjoyed.
Or as the Hinge boys say, ethical non-monogamy.
There we go. Ethical non-monogamy.
By the way, if you're a man listening to this and you put down your Hinge profile, automatic swipe left.
Yeah, I don't need that drama. But I did, especially because everyone knew about each other basically the entire time. Sylvia knew about Naomi. Naomi kind of knew about Sylvia. And then by the end, they all had met each other. They were out in the open and they kind of agreed to this tenuous relationship. So I thought it was okay. And I actually liked how they reacted to him, less so how he reacted to them. And it just goes to show this book would have been so much better if it was from the perspective of the women. But I guess we don't write from women's perspectives.
Yeah, for some reason. But yeah, so then going to the relationships with each other then. I like personally actually like don't have a problem with age gap relationships or non-monogamous relationships. Like, again, like consenting adults.
Not my thing. You do you.
Right. Yeah. Consenting adults, whatever. And I think people can be very judgmental about that kind of thing. And so I kind of like that this book explored the idea that actually like intimacy and love is a lot more complicated than just like 1 + 1 = 2. However, I actually think some of these relationships were just so chaotic and dysfunctional that I was like, you may as well have written a book just like against doing this. Like, yeah. I feel like she was trying to write like, let's open our minds and like approach these relationships like each one is different. And I was actually like, you wrote some really dysfunctional, horrible relationships that I do not personally support.
Yeah. Naomi was just basically like, yeah, I'm a gold digger because I played that role for you.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
Okay. So I feel like we should start with Ivan and Margaret because I do not understand with my whole body how she could have been with him.
Yeah,
he is written as this like he has braces. He has braces and he's like stuttering the whole time. He's like, oh, I'm sorry. Is this
am
okay?
I doing this right?
Am I doing this
sound
right?
Predatory?
Yeah. Please. And it's like the way it's written, it does not read as predatory. But I was also like, I'm sorry. I do not understand how as a 36-year-old woman, you could actually legitimately be interested in dating someone who is so immature and so insecure and unsure of themselves. Like, that's actually like really gross that you can even do this. Like, I just don't understand how she could want Ivan.
I feel like that's why Sally Rooney had to like write her perspective, because she had to justify to herself why she would want to be with Ivan. And like we learned, Margaret is very relationship stunted. Mm-hmm. She's basically been in one long-term relationship, got married to him, and he was an alcoholic and still is. And everyone in the town kind of babies him and pities him, and they don't give her a lot of grace for leaving. So you can understand why a boy who's infatuated with her and treats her perfectly and is smart and in a way well-traveled, because she's from a rural town in Ireland, that would appeal to her and entice her, because she hasn't really had a mature relationship, really. She's just had an abusive one. So I don't get why they are staying together. I kind of saw that as more of like they heal together, grow together, and then separate, but to each their own. I'm not going to judge, but you know,
I can't.
I think
stop
you're judging.
Myself.
Yeah, I think you're judging.
I'm judging. I'm judging. I'm judging pretty harshly, I feel, actually. Like, because, okay, and I think it's also possible. I appreciate that Sally Rooney did not write the most easily accepted version, because I think it's really easy to write a relationship where it's like every single detail you could think of is like acceptable. So it's like, yeah, there's an age gap, but he's like this and she's like that. So it like makes sense. And I feel like she really got into it of like why they're together and like not everything is so clean like that. It was very messy. But I am legitimately, like, as a 26-year-old, I find it difficult to be attracted to 22-year-olds. So I,
yeah,
and it's, again, because Ivan was not, like, a mature, together, like, well-functioning 22-year-old. He was, like,
unemployed.
He was a boy. He was chaotic. He was inexperienced. And I cannot say this enough, emotionally immature. Like, not just, like, young.
Let's use another Hinge reference, because these are my interjections, apparently. I'm 29, and my minimum age range set on Hinge and Bumble is 26.
Yeah.
Fair.
Like, someone in their early 20s is living a different life.
Right. And so I don't think that she accomplished what she wanted to with that relationship. When it comes to Naomi, Sylvia, and Peter, so Peter and Sylvia's relationship, I really got. I felt like it was very well written. I understood why it was impossible for them to let each other go. I mean, it was very painful. Like, that was the most, what felt to me like the most authentic part of the book. Peter's relationship with Naomi, I like fully hated. I felt like he actually was taking advantage of her.
100%. And he admits it too.
Yes. And it's crazy because in the whole time, it like actually hurt me to read some of the scenes between them, because I felt, you know, what it feels like to be a young girl who like wants to ask for emotional vulnerability and wants to ask to be considered an equal partner and like not having the words or like the empowerment or the confidence to do that. And so there's all these scenes where she's written as like, oh, she just takes everything as a joke. But I'm like, no, she just is like scared to be vulnerable. Yeah. She's deflecting instead of voicing what she wants, which makes sense because she's 22. And that's a very
she's playing into his image of her.
Yeah.
Even if it's not true.
Wants to be a fantasy instead of a real person. And
yeah, that their sex scenes were so uncomfortable because she's like, do whatever you need to me. And I'm like, don't say that.
Right. And I was just like, once again, I understand why Peter wanted to have sex with her, because she was very attractive and like presented as if she was very mature. But I was like, but that doesn't mean that the relationship is not still manipulative if you are not able to see that your partner is like asking for something and like you're not giving it to them. Like if she's not emotionally mature enough to actually ask for what she wants, then how can you as like a 32-year-old be in a relationship with her? It's not a real relationship. It's just sexual exploitation. And so the whole throuple thing, that did bother me, because I was like, I'm sorry, Naomi wants a real relationship. And there's all these scenes where I feel like there's a lot of evidence of that, where she wants him to come home. She tries cooking, like she's upset when he doesn't answer her. Like she's asking for more of a relationship, like a real relationship. And I feel like she continuously just gets treated like the side hoe. And then at the end, she's just like, and I guess I'm okay with that.
Yeah. I mean, I think it could have been an interesting story in the sense that, like, he has both emotional, intellectual, and physical needs, and they're not all fulfilled by his first love and true love, Sylvia.
Right.
So polyamory is probably the best bet for him if he really needs those things. Naomi maybe is not the best person for that.
Right. Because I agree with your points earlier, Catherine. I actually felt like their dynamic between all three of them was very well written. And it did, like, I got how it could function. But I felt like Sylvia was someone Peter saw as an equal and Naomi was not. And I think inherently that's fucked up. And also Sylvia was the love of his life. And Naomi is a young woman. I feel like she deserves to have a love that's the love of her life and not just being like a girl he loves that he can have sex with because the person he loves more than you can't.
Yeah. I feel like it's like what you're describing is like someone who marries someone who's lost their spouse. Mm-hmm. You know, like they'll probably never love you as much as their first love, but they're your first love, except in this scenario, she's not dead. So it's awkward.
Yeah. Like you can have more than one love and more than one kind of love. But like Peter and Sylvia had that sort of like soulmate love, right? Like the love of your life love, where it's like everything. And those relationships don't always work out and you can still fall in love again and it's still real love. But that doesn't mean it's like.
But like now his love's divided because.
Right. And I'm like.
They're both there.
And I feel like the incentive Naomi had to agree to that was financial and not actually like.
She has no home.
Right. Not actually her deciding this is the kind of relationship I want.
Yeah. She relies on him. She's unemployed college student, relies on him for money, food and housing.
So. This part, though. Goes on to another one of the things I wanted to talk about, which is that the women in this book are given no agency.
Nope.
Everything is written as if the women have no choices. What is that? All these women have choices. Because in the end, Naomi does decide to stay. And I feel like I would have liked the relationship more if we got her perspective on like what she actually thinks of Peter, why she's doing this. Instead, it makes her look like all of these women are just sort of like going along with what the men want.
And I get like, I did like the scene where Naomi and Sylvia meet for the first time to help and try and find Peter, who's not answering his phone.
Right.
They both kind of come to the realization that he could be suicidal and definitely has an alcohol problem and definitely has a drug problem. And they both come at the same time and to his apartment to find him. And that's when they meet. And then Peter walks in and collapses on the floor because he's can't believe the scene he is seeing. I liked that scene, but. And I think Naomi has real emotions and feelings towards Peter and that she could have decided not to engage in this relationship anymore, but still have gone there and cared because she deeply cares about this man and is very afraid of what he could do to himself because she's seen his self-destructive behavior, but not continue with that relationship. I wish Naomi could have gotten a job in this book. And could have found her own housing situation, but she didn't. So she's basically wholly reliant on the good graces of Peter, which makes it a very toxic relationship. And, you know, Margaret's dealing with town gossip.
Yeah, yeah. Caitlin, what's your feeling towards what you've been hearing?
Really not convincing me to pick this book back up. So.
I don't think the goal was that.
Yeah.
Like, but everybody knows I've talked about like a character driven book like this is also not my jam. Like,
yeah,
I like action-y books.
There were parts, though, that I read and I was like, Caitlin is going to hate this so much. Like,
were there parts that you read? They're like, oh, I bet Caitlin likes this. Probably
no,
not at all.
I need action.
Yeah,
there's no action whatsoever.
So while book. Like I'm slightly intrigued. Not enough to ever pick the book back up by what you're saying.
Right.
I will say there is one action scene, and that's when Peter and Ivan fight, and Ivan pushes him to the fireplace, and then Peter slaps him and throws him on the ground.
Yeah.
That's not the kind of action I'm looking for. That's like family abuse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Family violence.
And did I mention that Peter's drunk an entire bottle of vodka?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I did like their dynamic. I did like the brothers' dynamics. I'll give Sally Rooney that.
Something you guys have touched on throughout your conversations about the characters and their relationships, though, is this book is largely about life and grief.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, is that where you say she'd excel? in the book, or do you just think the characters discredit those lessons in general?
I feel like it's a subplot, not the full plot. And it would have been a better book if it was the full plot.
I agree with that. I think you don't really get into that stuff until the ending.
When they're in the house.
Right. Because it's the book sort of starts ending with the fight that they have, the physical fight. And then after that, they kind of make up. And that's when they really have a direct conversation about their grief, and they get a lot more, they just get a lot more direct in their thinking about it and how it impacted them and how it impacted them differently from each other. Until that point, I honestly don't think it's that much in the book.
Do you think the book would be improved with more of that woven in?
Well, yes, I do.
But because it's still too long then.
Yeah.
And like I said before, too many adjectives to describe stupid things. Like, I don't need to know what the paper looks like. I don't need to know what the courtroom looks like. I don't need to know about your day-to-day life. Right. I can read a to-do list for that.
Right. I actually thought the book's commentary on social pressures was where it excelled. Because it does comment a lot on, like, we have all these rules of, like, you know, you should date someone within 5 years of you. You should date someone in a similar, like, class bracket as you. You should only date someone if this and that and this. And there's a lot of rules. But, like, at the end of the day, people generally, like, don't. Like, it's hard to fight human attraction.
Well, and in the end, those rules are just to make it easier on you. Like, your life will be easier if you follow these rules. But I guess the point, what it sounds like you're saying is they all choose not to. So their life's not easy.
Yeah, right. The whole book is basically them competing with society and being deathly afraid of how people are going to react to their situations. Because Ivan and Margaret, well, Ivan less so, he doesn't really give a shit. Margaret's very afraid of how her small town will react to the news that she is dating a 22-year-old so recently after leaving her husband. And that's basically her whole reason of keeping it a secret, and that there's any tension in their relationship is she doesn't believe he totally loves her or is going to stay with her or believes that he should. Like, she's just kind of like, you should find someone your own age. I'm not going to be able to give you everything you want, and I'll be 50 when you're my age. Like, it's just not. She's kind of saying, I don't see a future because this future is going to be complicated. And it's not going to be your traditional white picket fence. And Ivan doesn't seem to care because he was like, you're the first woman I felt like a connection to and like feel comfortable around and can talk to in a normal way. And you understand me. And then Peter is afraid of how his friends and colleagues and the Dublin society will view his throuple. And he's coming to terms with that.
Yeah.
I mean, my grandfather married a woman my uncle's age many years after my grandmother passed. Mm-hmm. And it was like, it was an interesting development. But like, she was around my life so long and loved my grandfather so well. Like, you see it work. But like, I understand. There was at first, everybody was like, oh, interesting. You know, it can be weird. But like, in the end, if you love each other.
Yeah.
Who cares?
That's what matters.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's one really great description that Margaret uses a lot about life slipping free of its netting, because she lived so in like accordance, like within the box of like society's like accepted rules. And then she does this thing that's like very sort of like salacious and against society's rules, like especially an older woman with a younger man. It's like something that's even more taboo.
Right. That is true.
And so. And they get into that in the book, which I liked, too, of the hypocrisy of people being more accepting of age gap relationships when the man is older.
I.e. Peter.
Yes, Peter. But yeah, it like kind of pointed out that like your assumption is that this is like about sex and like an older person only seeing a younger person for sex. But like all the relationships were a lot more complicated than that. So I thought that part of the book was good.
Well, now I want to ask, how does the book end? And what did you think of the ending?
Peter and Ivan make up. They have a chess match. And they have a very emotional conversation together and like resolve a lot of things and like finally kind of talk about their dad and their grief.
And it was both mentioned that you liked this, right?
Yeah.
It was actually really beautiful. I cried. I did.
Yeah, because I think that's where I really started to like Peter's point of view. It only took 420 pages.
Yeah.
But it's all coming from Peter's perspective, the last chapter. Mm-hmm. And it includes the scene where he falls down because he sees Naomi and Sylvia together. Like it resolves a lot of things that were because I don't like miscommunication. I've said this before on this podcast. If tell people how you feel, like you don't need to play these stupid ass games. And the whole book was them playing stupid ass games with each other. Yes. And Ivan and Peter are basically thinking the same thing, that the other hates the other because they don't understand each other. And then that's not the truth. It's more complicated than that. And then they finally like talk, and Margaret kind of facilitates this happening because Peter was just not going to say hi, but he was just wanted to be there for his brother when he won this chess championship. And Margaret sees him and she's like, wait, I'm going to get him out here. And Ivan actually does end up coming out, and they walk and they talk about how, like, I'm sorry for the things I've said. I was lashing out. I didn't hate our father. We just had a complex relationship. And then Ivan kind of says, I'm sorry that I wasn't there for you when you needed me. I didn't know you totally needed me. And it resolves a lot of the miscommunication while also leaving open further reconciliation in the future. Because, like, obviously there was a lot more than just a conversation can fix. And then I also liked how Peter described, like, he was like, I now found something worth living for, basically, and that he sees the sun coming out and sees like things are gonna get better. And you can tell he actually is kind of saying, fuck society and fuck what they think about me. I'm gonna live my life of where I can find happiness and not play by these stupid rules, because all these stupid rules have done have made me incredibly depressed.
Yeah.
So a happy-ish ending.
Yes. Bittersweet, happy. But definitely happy.
Well, anything else you guys want to add about the book? What would you say to someone like me who couldn't get into it? Is there a reason it's worth it?
No,
I wouldn't read it again. Yeah.
I was really trying to get us in on something optimistic. Sorry, guys.
Oh, sorry. No.
Yeah, I will not be recommending this book, unfortunately.
Well, do you have books you would recommend in its place?
Okay, I do. So I mentioned way earlier, this book is very in the style of Virginia Woolf. And I love Virginia Woolf. I think she does what Sally Rooney is trying to do, but much better and in a more interesting way. That is to be said, she wrote in the 1920s, though, so you should definitely know that before you pick up the book. But my favorite Virginia Woolf book is To the Lighthouse, and it's really, really short. I think it's like 100, 120 pages, but it's basically about how this woman was like the matriarch of her family, and she is sort of like the social heart of everyone and is the reason everyone gets together. And then she passes away, and it's sort of about like what happens to this family when the person who brought everyone together is gone. And so, yeah, it's very literary, but it's also really short. And so I feel like if that book also is like a lot more like time to reading ratio makes sense.
Yeah. I guess my year of rest and relaxation, if you want a book about someone's mental state and how they're dealing with mental health issues. And it's a lot shorter, so you don't have to slog through 450 pages.
Yeah.
Just what this was reminding me of while you were talking about it, and B, while I was reading it, the part I read was A Little Life. So if you liked this, you would probably like A Little Life, though the ending is not even slightly happy, I will warn you.
And it's way longer.
Yeah.
But it's the same kind of like just really deep, deep, detailed dive into someone's life while they're dealing with big issues.
True. All right. Well, rate and review our podcast. I think that's it. Caitlin, hope you had fun hearing about the book.
I didn't have to argue with anyone. It was great.
Yeah.
And we would have all been on the same page.
Yeah, I think you would have.
No arguments.
There would have been no arguing. But yeah, normally we're a little bit more positive, or at least if we're negative, there's only one of us that's negative.
What the people can't see is I've been sitting here working on a crochet blanket while I listen to my friends chit-chat about books. It's actually very peaceful. I like it.
You got the podcast.
So, so glad we could give you that entertainment.
I'm just happy to be here.
So yeah, find us online at Busy Girls Pod. We'd love to get book recommendations from you. We hated this book. Maybe there's another book you'd like us to rip apart. Maybe there's a book you have you think we'll love. And we'd love to read it for you. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, at least Onyx Storm's coming next. So that'll be a more fun review. And I'm sure some of us will enjoy that book, i.e. Caitlin, at least, and probably me. Casey may or may not. It's the jury's out. Right. Well, with that, I'm Catherine.
I'm Caitlin.
And I'm Casey. Thanks for listening. And when you get a chance, take a break with the Busy Girls Book Club.